Praise the Lord. I thank God for this privilege that He has given us to once again be here as a family to worship the Lord together and also to share the word with you. I just want to thank the leadership for inviting me to share the word and also share about Campus Crusade for Christ. So I'll take the first few minutes to just to share a little bit about what Campus Crusade is doing across India, just to throw a little bit light on our ministry. Campus Crusade, the vision of Campus Crusade is to help fulfill the Great Commission by winning, building and sending Christ-centered laborers who will do the same and also help the body of Christ to win, build and send Christ-centered laborers. That's what we stand for. And we are working in partnership with the churches across India, and we are also seeing lives being transformed and many disciples being raised. We know that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, and God wants us to pray for more laborers to be sent into the harvest field. Just a glance about our ministry. We have 390 full-time staff who are working in different parts of India in 60 teams across India, focused on reaching three audiences. We focus on the three main audiences of students, leaders and churches. And we also have the digital strategy along with that. We also have 420 BCCI pastors. When I say BCCI, this is Bible Community Churches of India. Campus Crusade does not have a church. We are not a church. We are an interdenominational organization. But there is a separate entity called Bible Community Churches of India, which is run by its own board. And there are 420 BCCI pastors and 10,000 multiplying lay leaders with over 14,000 house churches across India that is being planted. And we just help facilitate that as a movement. We initially send these church planting initiators out for the first 3 years, and then they become self-sustaining churches. So right now, this year, 300 new church planters have been deployed. They're focused on engaging around 8,000 villages across India. 300 new church planters. Please remember them in your prayers. You know, right after we deployed these 300 new church planters, one of the team was arrested in UP, and they were put into prison. And these are new believers. All these 300 new church planters are from the existing 14,000 churches. These are the lay leaders who have been raised and envisioned as church planters. So this is basically from the churches. We also have over 5,000 multiplying student leaders and marketplace leaders giving leadership to the movement in different cities, the 60 cities that I talked about. Just to talk about the four major strategies, one is students. Student movements. The key caption there is win the campus today, win the world tomorrow. Because tomorrow's leaders are in today's campus. So win them today, we can impact the world tomorrow. We have ministry in over 700 campuses across India. Over 6,000 students are involved in this, in different levels of discipleship. You know, we win, build, train and send these students. These students become student leaders in the campus. And right now there are 3,000 multiplying student leaders ministering in these campuses. 3,000 multiplying student leaders across different cities in India. We also have something called Leader Impact, which is focused on the leaders of today in the marketplace, reaching today's leaders. 1,200 marketplace leaders giving leadership in over 300 domains. When we say domains, these are the different domains, you know. Engineering, professional, IT, doctors, businessmen. Recently, we initiated something called FLAG, Foundation for Leadership and Governance, where bureaucrats, parliamentarians, diplomats are involved in this initiative. It's a recent initiative. And that's taking off with the leaders, the major influential leaders of India. And this is also in 60 cities across the country. The church strategy is the other strategy that I talked about. The vision is a multiplying, self-sustaining church in every unchurched, unengaged villages of India. That's the ultimate dream that we are dreaming about. A multiplying, self-sustaining church. These are all house churches, small churches, and they are all with the DNA of multiplication. So each of these church planters who go out, they have 30 villages as their target area. So a team comprising of two church planters have 60 villages, and they try to reach out to the 60 villages, plant church in all these 60 villages, and that's what is happening across India. So these are some of the glimpses of what's happening with the church strategy. There's also the digital strategy. You know, here the vision is to give everyone on earth multiple opportunities to hear the gospel. So there are different apps, there are different websites that are there, and you know, just like God Tools, Perspective Cards, Solarium, How to Know God Personally, everystudent.com, all these are different sites, and then the Jesus Film Media app, which has been used over the years. And the Jesus Film is coming up with a new tool called Animated Story of Jesus. It is going to be released in 2025, December. It's a new film. And that story is being done by Disney, Pixar, and the technicians who were involved in that. And it's going to be one of the best animated films. So there is a lot of work behind that to make sure that this movie reaches as many people as possible and people are exposed to the gospel. You know, over 120 million visitors to our website in the last few years. 1.6 million people seeking follow-up from these different sites. And this is a global overall. This is not just in India, what's happening. And over 3.4 million have indicated decisions for Christ through these different websites. So that's what is happening with the digital strategy, which is reaching a lot of... Because today's highway... If it was a Roman highway for Paul, today's highway is the digital highway that is being used by God to reach people. I just want to introduce one more new initiative that we have launched for your information. It's called Urban Hope. This is a completely digital initiative. The vision is based on... One of the businessmen had this vision when he was affected by COVID and he was in his deathbed in Baptist Hospital. He had this vision as he was lying down in that waiting for death because he was sure he's going to die. So he got this vision of the four gates of hell. And one of the gates is pornography. The other gate is substance abuse. The other gate is depression. The other gate is suicide. And the four gates and people, millions of people are walking into these gates. And then he saw in this vision that even Christian leaders and pastors are hovering around near the gate in fear because they're not able to really address these issues, especially pornography. Just to give you some statistics, you know, by the year 2019, this is an old statistic, I cannot even count that number, but the total number of people who watch porn and the number of hours is that number that is there. And if you say that's equal to almost 665 centuries of content consumed in 1 year on just one porn site. That's the impact, that's the way how it is working around us. Over 35% of the teens in India below the 19 years of age consume alcohol. 74% of homes have an adult who has a substance addictive problem. That's about substance abuse. You can see the statistics around what's happening in India. In India has over 5 crore reported depression cases, and numbers go soaring heights when the non-reported cases are included. One in every 20 people. And the number of suicides. These are not new statistics for us. That's the magnitude of the problem. And the key thing about especially porn is people want to be anonymous. They don't want to talk about it. This is affecting the Christian world. There are pastors, there are Christian leaders who are addicted to porn, who are falling off ministry because of this one issue. And people are afraid to come out in the open because of the shame. And this initiative is basically online so that it can be anonymous to a certain extent. They can open up, they can talk about it. So this is a roadmap that we are looking at, you know, starting from content exposure. You know, there's a seeker, there's a SEO optimization that happens, and then the content is exposed. There's a chat engine, there's analysis, there's a solution, there's a gospel exposure, and counseling. Counseling at the end of the gate, and then follow-up. And now, even though Campus Crusade is kind of initiating and being a catalyst in this, ultimately, when it comes here, we want the church to take it up. We want the church to be involved in counseling and follow-up so that people will land into the churches and be disciples, be discipled in the process. But this part of the process, we will take care. Campus Crusade will do that. The rest of it, you know, if churches are interested to be part of counseling, you know, we are encouraging as many volunteers to be part of this. The site name that we are using is notosayno.com. notosayno.com. If you go into the site, you will see the articles, the resources that are there. This is going to be SEO optimized across with social media advertisement and everything. And we have, this is not yet launched, but then we will launch it in this month end. And we are mobilizing volunteers to be part of this initiative so that the churches will be benefited and they will be involved in discipleship. So this is the site name, notosayno.com. And what it does is, it's, as I said, it's a completely digital platform. The body of Christ will be involved in this together. We are just a small part of this, and it's going to be a holistic effort that is going to happen. So two key things. Volunteer counselors are needed for this. And then, you know, we need more content creators. We have few people who are helping us with content, especially addressing these four areas, but it is not easy to find out content writers who can come up and update the site with more content. So if there is anybody who's interested, you know, in content writing, that'll be great. So that's the two things that we are looking at. And also, you know, you can sign up as a counselor to make a difference. You can do this from the comfort of your house or office in your spare time. You can be an online missionary. You can volunteer only a couple of hours per day or week as per your availability. And we are offering a short counseling training for those who volunteer. We have a group of professional Christian counselors who are at the core of this group, and they are the ones who are giving this counseling training. So we offer a short training for those who volunteer as counselors. Now, if you are interested to be a volunteer for this and you would like to counsel these people who are coming into the site, and you know, ultimately they can land into this church as disciples, once you you know, share the gospel with them and continue to disciple, please contact your church leaders and we can think about how we can move forward with that if you are interested. So that's about Urban Hope, which is a new initiative that we are just launching out. Thank you. That's about Campus Crusade ministry as a whole. And you know, as I said, disciple making is something that all of us are called to, and God wants us to be disciple makers. That's the challenge that has been given to us, to be involved in making disciples. And this will be one way of, you know, making disciples if you are interested on a digital platform. I just want to turn your attention to God's word, Acts 13:36. The first part of that, Acts 13:36. Can you read that verse, any one of you? Acts 13:36.
For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers and saw corruption.
Yeah, we are focusing just on that first part where it says, for David, when he had served God's purposes in his own generation, he fell asleep. serving God's purposes in one's own generation. You know, that passage talks about resurrection, talks about decay, and once we are in Christ, we see no decay. But I want to focus on this aspect of serving God's purpose in your own generation. How did David serve God's purposes? How did he accomplish and fulfill God's purposes? Can you turn to Psalm 78:72? Psalm 78:72. Another familiar verse for us. Psalm 78:72. Anyone, can you help with reading it?
David shepherded them with the integrity of God, with skillful hands he led them.
David shepherded them with the integrity of his heart and guided them with skillful hands. How did David fulfill God's purpose? And you find a glimpse of that here. By shepherding his people with the integrity of his heart and with skillful hands. Two things come out here. The first thing is character. The second one is competence. Character and competence. Shepherding with integrity of your heart is character. You know, integrity of heart, integrity is from the word integer, which means wholeness. You know, whole number, we say, right? Wholeness. And David was wholehearted. There was no guile. There was no split personality. There was no double personality in him. He was who he was. And we see that throughout the Bible. As you read the Psalms, you see this person real, you know, broken, you know, acknowledging his sin before God. No hiding that fact. When you compare that with Saul, even though he was confronted many times, King Saul was not able to be open, to be transparent. He failed miserably. In fact, at the end of King Saul's life, there is this tragic statement that he makes: "I have played the fool. I have played the fool." That's a tragedy when compared to what is written about David. He accomplished God's purpose in his own generation. Two contrasting figures. One, the first king of Israel. The next one is the next king of Israel. But then completely in contrast to each other. So character is something that God is looking at us as we serve him. Our character goes before us. I was in Hyderabad and I wanted to change my vehicle registration. Somebody told me, when you move to the new state, it was registered here in Bangalore, so change your registration. Somehow I went and, I believed that and I went and changed. Actually, I didn't have to change. I could have used that same vehicle with that same registration there. But I went to the RTO office and someone told me that there is a Christian guy who was working there. Meet him. So I went and met this Christian guy. He had a Christian name. And he said, "I will help you, but it is at a price. You need to pay this much." I said, we can take care of, we'll do all those paperwork and everything, but still, what is the fees? You have to pay more? Yes. This is different. And later I came to know that this guy was one of the most corrupt guy in that RTO department. He was known for his corruption. And I was just thinking in my mind, if he had another name, he should not have used his Christian name there, because he was the only Christian there in that whole office. He had this Christian name and he had this reputation of being the most corrupt in that office. And it was sad to see that there. So when you read 2 Chronicles 31:21, it talks about King Hezekiah, you know, seeking the Lord wholeheartedly, seeking the Lord with his entire heart. The same thing that you see in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, familiar verse for us. It says there, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men." Not pleasing men. You know, we are living in a society, we are living in a generation that is caught up on pleasing men. You know, whether it is in your office, whether it is in your workplace, in your school, in your college, in your campus, you know, it is all about pleasing. And I was in the police, and one of the key things that was taught to us was, you know, they use the word soap. Soap your superiors nicely. You know, apply some polish so that you can go up. Pleasing men. But Bible says very clearly, we are supposed to please only God. Our job is to please God. Nobody else. It doesn't matter whether men are pleased or not. It's not my job. We are called to please God. Whatever you do, do at it with all your heart. Because you're doing it not for man, not for showing somebody else, not for a performance, not for somebody, for us to get applause. But it is for God. And it makes a whole lot of difference when we do that. In Matthew chapter 22, 37, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And it doesn't talk about a divided heart. It doesn't talk about a part of the heart. It says all. Complete. Wholeness. And that's something that comes first for us. So in this verse, as you read, David shepherding his people with integrity, that talks about character. The second aspect is competence, skillful hands. You know, competence is something that we see a rarity in Christian work. You know, it's not much valued. But even as I get into this aspect of competence, let me remind you that character always precedes competence. It doesn't come vice versa. You can be competent, you can be really good, you can be the best person who is excellent at your work, but if your character has a flaw, you know, when you look at King Saul's life, he was competent. Because Bible talks, he was head and shoulders taller than anybody else, the most handsomest man in the whole of Israel. By his stature, by his personality, you know, very, very competent guy. David, compared to him, short, obscure, shepherd, nowhere in the scene. But character always takes precedence than competence. But then is competence needed? Sometimes it is, not considered as a value in many of the Christian organizations. You know, competence is not really built up. One of the things that Campus Crusade values is character and competence. You know, we make sure that people are growing in their skills, in their leadership, in their leadership abilities, in this God-given skills that has been entrusted to them. So, you know, you see today, we say that head and heart are equally important for a Christian leader or a servant of God. Head and hands. You know, head is talking about your character and your integrity and all that. Hands is basically the skills that you have. So both are important. But when you look at the politicians today, you find sometimes, you know, they have a very good skill, but their character is nowhere there. They don't walk the talk. You know, their walk is far away from their talk. But is that true about Christian leadership also? God wants us to be competent in the things that we do, in our work, in our workplace. He wants us to discern, to guide, to care, to feed, to teach, to rebuke, to correct, to restore, to listen. He wants us to be competent in all these areas. You know, for David, His training school was the sheepfold. Because if you read just previous to that verse in Psalms, it says there very clearly, God took him from the sheepfold. His training school was the sheepfold. He was also trained in the wilderness when he was running away from Saul for many years. You know, he was appointed the king, but then he had these years of wandering in the desert, in the wilderness, as a vagabond with a bunch of no good people. You know, a ragtag army. And he was wandering. But that was his training school. That's where his competence was built up as a leader. Many times God brings experiences into our life. God brings this wilderness experiences. God brings tough challenges, difficulties into our life to build our competence, to build our skills. And that's all of you can vouch for it, how different challenges and difficulties in your life have shaped us, molded us, kind of purified us to the kind of people we are today. And that's God's school of leadership that he works. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 to 4, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 to 4, Peter says, "Be shepherds of God's flock under your care." Now, this is not just for pastors, this is not just for leaders, this is not just for elders. It's for all of us to be shepherds of God's flock under your care. Not lording it over them, just like what others do, but being gentle. And then at the end of it, he says, be examples to your flock. Be examples to your flock so that they can see. That's what God is intending from our lives. You know, as I said, I was in the police and one of the, as I was in the training phase, we were chosen for a small project, and the Inspector General of Police was the academy head. And as we were being selected, you know, for the small project, he was the one who was in charge, and he saw my name. And he said, "Are you a Christian?" He first asked, "Are you from Kerala?" Yes, yes, I said, "I'm from Kerala." Then he said, "Are you a Christian?" "Yes, I'm a Christian." Then he was telling the other guy, "Take this fellow. If they are Christians, they'll do a good job. And they'll be honest with it." This was 30 years back. That was a reputation of a Christian at that time. He'll do a good job. He will excel. Take him. I don't know whether it's the same today in the workplace, because we have lost a lot of credibility. You know, you find, when I was in the north, and when I was talking to some of the leaders, you know, the topic was about the church leaders involved in corruption, especially some of the top church leaders who were involved in corruption. And now, all of them are behind the ruling party, because they are afraid that the ED or the CBI will come after them. You know, many of the leaders, especially in UP, you know, the old Christian big leaders are all now very close friends of the ruling party, just to avoid being caught. Now that's the credibility that Christianity has. That's one of the biggest challenges that we face today. The biggest challenge for the gospel is not the message. The biggest challenge for the gospel to go into the hearts of Indians today is a messenger. They doubt the messenger. They doubt the credibility of the messenger. You know, I have heard students ask me, "You guys talk so much about Jesus. You guys talk so much about Christianity. But we also hear so much about Christian leaders in the newspapers. Where is the dichotomy?" And that's where character and competence is so crucial for us. Fulfilling God's purpose in our generation involves these two things: character and competence. And the last thing that I want to leave across to you from this verse of David fulfilling God's purpose is the aspect of perseverance. This will need perseverance. Without perseverance, we will never be able to accomplish God's purposes in our life. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Can one of you read that verse? Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2. Hebrews 12, 1 to 2.
"Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us."
Let us run with?
En-
endurance. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. And before that it says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, we are not alone. We are not the first people to run this race. We are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let's run with confidence. Let's run this race with endurance. And it also says, laying aside every encumbrance, the sin that so easily entangles us. Let's lay it aside. And perseverance involves running the race with endurance, irrespective of the challenges. Challenges are there. Difficulties are there. You know, I was just talking about the challenge of persecution. The day we launched out, the very next day, you know, the two CPMIs, these two new CPMIs are from a new church. They're new believers. They are just fresh in their faith. And they have stepped out to serve the Lord. And they invited their mentor, their pastor, to come and pray in their house. As they were praying, the Bajrang Dal activities came and surrounded that place, caught these three people, took them to the jail, to the police, and filed cases. Now, they were asking the police, and this Bajrang Dal activities were forcing these two new, because their names are still Hindu names. So they were forcing these two people to accuse the pastor, saying that this man walked into their house without permission, and he was trying to forcefully convert them. That's a charge. So they said, no, we cannot do that. We invited him. Then the police said, we'll give you money. Then the police started forcing them. If you don't tell that, you will be in this jail for a long time. You will not be let out. There won't be bail for you. They said, no, we will not. And then when the advocate went and asked them to file the charges, the police, you know, relented. They knew that there was no case actually. No witnesses. Now this is something that is normal, that is happening in many places. A routine thing that happens. And these are challenges that comes in. And you know, this is something that is going to be seen in more aggravated state in the days to come. But then, do we give up? Do we just say, oh, things are difficult? Things are, you know, for our staff. I remember when I started out ministry in Bangalore, we were invited as counselors in Christ College. We were given badge. You know, we had the counselor badges. We could walk into that campus anytime as counselors. Today, there's hardly two campuses in Bangalore that give official permission to enter the campus. Our staffs are not having access into any of those campuses, Christian campuses. They're connecting with students from outside. And that's why digital becomes so important. That's why evangelism through the digital ways becomes so important. That the access to students are limited. But they are digital, they're connected digitally. And when you come to chapter 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 6. 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 6. There's an interesting verse about David. King David. 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 6. This part of persevering. How David persevered in the Lord.
David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man from his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God.
I'll close with this thought. You know, David strengthened himself in the Lord, irrespective of what he was going through. What he was going through, when you read that passage, you understand. You know, he was in Ziklag, and his entire family is taken. His peoples, I mean, all his men, their families are taken as slaves. Their every belonging is gone. They have gone for this raid, and when they come back, there is nothing. Everything is burned. And his men who were with him, these men are his cousins. Most of them are his cousins and relatives. These men are planning and talking about stoning him. Isn't that distressing as a leader? Isn't that really a tough time for you? But then Bible says very beautifully, but David found his strength in the Lord, irrespective of the challenge. Where do we find our strength? Is that an overnight event that we find our strength suddenly in the Lord? No, it's cultivated over the years. It doesn't come overnight. It's cultivated over the years of intentionally walking with the Lord. Because David says again in Psalm 27 verse 4, "One thing I desire, one thing I long for, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord." That's one thing I desire. That's my desire. And that's our desire also, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our life. If we have that constant desire, we will find our strength in the Lord, irrespective of the challenges or difficulties that we face. I just want to close with the last passage that is a passage that has been very close to my heart. It has really helped me to be strengthened in the Lord with this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. It says there, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, immovable." Brothers and sisters, stand firm, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And then he closes with a beautiful statement. "Because your work in the Lord is never, ever in vain." Never. You know, irrespective of what we face, the challenges or anything, be steadfast, be immovable. Because our work in the Lord is never in vain. I was in a fasting and prayer, our national fasting and prayer recently, and one of the person who came in to speak, I didn't know that he was coming in to speak. I'm meeting him after 25 years. He comes in and he shares about how he was discipled as a student in the college. And I was the one who discipled him. And he says, there were 5 guys, and I discipled him at that time. And all 5 of them are in full-time missions today. And he was telling that. All 5 of them are in full-time missions. I had no clue. But then I was sitting there and praising the Lord. Thank God. You know, God has allowed us to plant, to build, to water. At some point, something else, some of the small things we would have done. But the impact of it is eternal. It is never in vain. I and you can never imagine the impact of what we have done in the Lord. It's eternal. Shall we close our eyes? Father God, we thank you so much for this beautiful morning. Thank you for reminding us from King David's life that he fulfilled your purpose in his generation. And we all of us long to fulfill your purpose in our own generation, Lord. Give us the integrity of heart and skillful hands to be steadfast, to be immovable, and to be abounding in your work, so that our work in you will never be in vain. Thank you for your reminder. We give all glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.